Once again, a very good morning to each and every one of you. You are gathered here. And if you have a chance, if you meet Pastor Stephen, just say hi to him and welcome him, that he will feel part of our church family. Continue to pray for his wife, Mary Simo, and also for the two kids, Joshua and also Dora. Let God's grace be sufficient. Let them draw strength from God's word. You know, today, as Sam was reminding us, today is we start our mission month, right? So throughout this month, there's an emphasis on missions, and a call that is given to us. We do have some speakers will be just coming and joining us, and also bringing God's words, challenging us to live a life for Christ and to fulfill the vision and mission that God has given to us. Let's pray and ask God to help us before we look into the scripture. Father, we thank you that we can come to worship you, to adore you, O God, and also to magnify your name. Father, we pray, help us, O Lord, to see Jesus. Help us, O Lord, to live this place like Jacob, who said, unless you bless me, I will not leave you. Thank you once again. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. I think many of you would have heard about the Apostle Paul from this particular pulpit. Not only, you know, I preached about the many teachings that he has brought to us, right? You have heard numerous sermons because he's one of the greatest writers of the New Testament. So when you think of the Apostle Paul, what comes to your mind? What comes to your mind? Servant? What comes to your mind when you read his epistles, right? His pastoral epistles, even his prison epistles. You see him as a church planter, right? He goes around planting churches. You also see him as a missionary because he wanted to do the ministry that God has given to him. And many a times you'll see him, the Apostle Paul, defending the faith, right? You can see him is always in front of the authorities or in front of Pharisees and Sadducees or the scribes, just defending, guarding the faith that has been entrusted to him. But in all these things, you know, one thing that really stands out about this Apostle Paul is the word witness. Paul was a great witness. I believe when you go to heaven and you meet Paul, if you ask him about Paul, he will not say, you know, I'm a church planter. Probably he will not say or identify himself as an apostle or a great teacher or a strict Pharisee, but he would simply say that I want to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason I think Paul says in Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, I was just looking at this word very carefully. You know, Paul was able to say, I'm not afraid of the gospel of Christ. Today, you and I are able to say that because we live in an environment such. You can embrace your faith. You can live out your faith. Right? We are sensitive to the religious belief of others. That's the environment that we live. But when Paul said this word, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but the power of God that saves me. You know, when you look at the environment that Paul lived, you know, it was a very difficult environment. Because in those days, there was a gospel known as the gospel of Caesar, Augustus Caesar. You know, Caesar was known for bringing peace, but he brought peace in a different way, through suffering, through pain, bringing people under him. That was the way Caesar brought peace, and there was no salvation. And not only that, you know, when Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know, can you imagine? Today we read a lot about hate crime in many parts of the world. If you're a certain race, if you go to a certain country, you know, you need to be extra careful. Wrong place, wrong time, you can be a target. You know, that was the kind of world that Paul lived. The Roman Empire was anti-Christian. They saw the Jesus movement was again the gospel of Caesar. You know, there was graffitis. You can Google and, you know, search about this man called Aleximus Graffito. He, you know, you will see graffitis of, he was a soldier, a guard. And you will see that he was just kneeling down in this graffiti, worshiping Jesus. And they portrayed Jesus on the cross, very sadly, half man and half donkey. Can you imagine? That was the kind of world that Paul was living. If you identify yourself as a Christian, you are bound to have persecution, my friend. But Paul was ready to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He was not ashamed, because there were groups of people who were afraid of their lives. They were afraid that their property will be taken away. But Paul was bold enough to say, I'm not afraid of the gospel. Missions Month is a reminder. We talk about missions, we talk about global missions. But at the same time, I think we are reminded, each and every one of you who call yourself as a Christian, are called to be effective witness of Christ. That's why we become Christians, right? Gospel is not to be self-contained, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. Evangelion is an interesting word in the Greek text. You know, when you see the word gospel that was used during the time of Caesar, it was a different meaning altogether, right? But when the way New Testament uses it, evangelion, it's gospel of great joy. That's the meaning. It's not just good news, but great joy that comes into our life. Today we want to spend some time just looking at Acts chapter 26. I will tend to see quite a bit of verses from here. And to ask ourselves this question, how can I be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? That, like this Apostle Paul, was a great model, a defender of the faith. He always wanted to make sure that he had the opportunity to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, when I look at the scriptures that was just read to us, you know, I just want to create the scene. Can you imagine, you know, it is a particular day when great people were gathered there. Festus, King Agrippa, was there. He was known to be a powerful and, you know, one of the last king of the Herodian Empire or dynasty. He was there, and Festus, who was the governor of Judea, was also seated there. Can you imagine, you know, just going to an environment like that? It's a big area, you know, powerful men were seated. The king, Agrippa the second, was there. And Bernice was also the sister of Agrippa. King Agrippa was also there. And prominent men, maybe in our language you will say the lawmakers, were there. Or the parliamentarians were also there. And people who were against Apostle Paul were also gathered there. Here comes the apostle, right? He comes and he stands. And you know, can you imagine? Anything can happen to his life. He could be sentenced to death, but here Paul knows that he was on his way to see the emperor Caesar. But then it's interesting. I like the way he said in verse 2. He said, "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today." In other translations, it says, I'm so happy to stand before you. Can you imagine? The cases are against you. The people are against you. The authorities are against you. Right? Christianity was not accepted in that particular time. But here is a man who says, I'm fortunate, I'm happy, I'm glad to stand in front of you. Paul was in prison for the past 2 years, in a dungeon, my friend. I'm just trying to imagine, very haggard, probably tired, lack of food, but he's standing there. He's not really defending about the accusation that was brought against him, but he says, I consider myself fortunate very interesting. He considers himself fortunate because, you know, he had the opportunity to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not consider himself fortunate because he's going to be released, because Paul knew very well he's not going to be released. He will be sent to Caesar to be questioned by Caesar. But here he says, I'm fortunate because every time I get an opportunity to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I consider it fortunate, happy, excited. It's not a burden, it's a delight. It's not a duty, my friend, it's a delight. I can't stop preaching the gospel. That's the way you see Paul, the apostle Paul, writing. Paul calls, you know, Jesus Lord, and we call Jesus as Lord, my friend. I think we should have the same excitement. A couple of things I would like to share with you. The first thing is, you know, why Paul was a great witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he was a person with a past. What do I mean by that? In other words, Paul had a story to tell. Right? He had a story to tell that this was me before, and today I'm totally different. You and I are able to share about our faith, provided you and I have a story to tell, my friend. This was me before, and this is me now. There is a transformation. There is a paradigm shift that has taken place in my life. You know, I was once lost. This was my life before, but now I'm new, and this is my life. You know, what was Paul talking about? Look at his life. You know, many of us would say, you know, I'm not a persecutor of the church. But we need to have a story to tell. Paul had a story to tell. Look at the word very carefully. He said, I conformed to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. In other words, Paul says, you know, I trusted my religious traditions. I loved my religious tradition. I made sure that I was obedient till the end. I was living as a strict Pharisee. I wanted to keep my traditions. I think Christianity can become like tradition. We can become very ritualistic in our practice. I don't know how many of you read the note that I wrote yesterday. Reading the Bible can become a duty, or it can be done with delight. Sometimes it can become duty. And that was what Paul, he saw his religious tradition. He said, you know, I was maybe probably having an outer form, but deep inside me, there was no transformation in my life. I was just making sure everything is right in order, but there is nothing that was really happening in my life. Yes, my friend, Christian faith, it's about relationship. It's not just maintaining the traditions. The Pharisees, they keep their tradition. My wife and I had the opportunity to join a group on study tour to Israel. Wonderful trip, I must say. And we were able to see the Pharisees. Let me tell you, the Bible was just becoming real to me. Very strict guys, out of form. But I don't think, looking at their life, right, speaking to them, you know, they had inner transformation that was happening. Paul was like that. Secondly, he trusted in his own works and deeds. Look at verse 7. You know, he says, he's talking about his ancestors, the 12 tribes. And the way Paul puts it in the Greek text, it means they earnestly serve God day and night. In other words, they were making sure that all the ordinances were followed. They were regular to the temple. They were just praying. If you go to Israel, my friend, you know, you when you go to the wall, the prayer wall, you will see that, you know, they will just come. Very religious, ritualistic kind of thing. Today, communion is very fast, right? 10 minutes. But the Pharisees was, you know, so religious. Or in other words, it can even go till midnight. That was the way they had communion. the same time, I think Paul says, no, we were serving day and night, thinking that our deeds can bring us to heaven, that our deeds are sufficient, my friend, that God only sees the deeds. It's not our deeds, but it's only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that Paul reminds in his writing, my friend. Unfortunately, you know, that was the issue between the Catholic tradition and also the Protestant tradition, right? It was deeds. Martin Luther King, right? Martin Luther came out because he realized it was not deeds, but faith. We are justified by our faith. And so Paul thought, you know, my deeds are sufficient. Sometimes, even as Christians do, we think, you know, our deeds is good. Sometimes we serve too much, but we don't really have a relationship with God. Have you realized? Look at your time you spend serving and the time you spend with God. Sometimes we become unknowingly, we think by serving God without having a real intimate relationship with God, a growing relationship with God, you know, sometimes we fail in our reading of Scripture, engaging ourselves with Scripture, or even seeking God's strength. But we think, you know, I can compromise that by just serving. And there was many Jews in those days, my friend. Paul saw, because when he met Jesus, he saw all his good deeds were nothing. Thirdly, he saw, you know, he trusted in his false zeal, 9 to 11, when you read that verse. He was going around, right? All of us know he was a persecutor of the church. He was just finding Christians who call themselves Christians, he persecuted them. From verses 9 to 11, you read, the false zeal is self-seeking, my friend, right? It was misguided. You realize Jesus spoke about, you know, the Pharisees were just concerned about washing of the cups, right, rather than following the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a false zeal, false excitement. And that is who Paul was. Even the disciples were like that. Remember? James and John telling Jesus, Lord, why don't we call fire from heaven and burn these people? False zeal. False passion. Sometimes we need to be very careful, my friend. Paul was like that, and he said, you know, this is me before. But then he says, but now I'm different. Not only he was a man of the past, but then if you look at the thing, he was a person with a message. You and I have a message, my friend. If you call yourself, you know, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a child of God, you have a message. You and I can't deny that. And that's what Paul says. He was preaching the word of God. In verse 26, you know, if I just, you know, I know today is communion time. He says, I preach that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. You know, Paul says, and this is the gospel all about. Gospel is not just accepting Jesus Christ alone. He uses certain interesting words, my friend. Firstly, Paul says, it's turning from sin in repentance. I preach that they should repent. Repent. I think many of us have heard this word numerous times, right? Repent, repent, and repent. You know, it's interesting when you look at the Greek word. It doesn't mean just change of mind. It means you change your mind so that you start living a different life. How many of you have gone for, you know, what do you call that? Diving and all that sort. Skydiving. Hello? I've done it before. Can you imagine? You're so excited, you're trained, right? And then you go there to the cliff, right? Or bungee dive, whatever it is, right? And you go there, you're there, and suddenly you change your mind. You go back, and that is called repentance. You're excited. But then, you change your mind. You go back. You don't want to go that way. And that is the meaning of repentance. In other way, I don't want to continue with my lifestyle. Unfortunately, many Christians today, my friend, what has happened, their past is still the present and present continuous. Their past life is still present continuous. Paul says, true repentance is I am going the other way altogether. It's a different life altogether. That is the way he uses the word repentance. It's not only change of my mind, but the way I live. That is repentance, my friend. We need to ask ourselves, is my past still the present? Is my past behaviors still present continuous? True repentance is different, the way Paul looks at it. Now, sometimes we tell ourselves, you know, I'm not that good. Right? I'm not so bad. Yeah, you're not so bad compared to others. But when Paul uses the word, he's saying that we need to measure ourselves with God's standard of perfection. When you compare with other people, probably you're not so bad. But when you start comparing with the perfection of Christ, then we realize we need Jesus. And that's repentance that he's talking about. Reading a story about Frederick the Great. One day he went to the prison. He wanted to meet the prisoners. Very interesting guy. You know, I remember working in the U.S. With some of the prisoners there. It was a wonderful time working there. And so when Frederick the Great went to the prisoners, he was talking to each and every one of them. As usual, many prisoners came to him and said, you know, I'm not that bad. I just did one mistake. Probably I was in the wrong place. Maybe the situation was not, you know, so good. You know, it forced me to do that. But no, that was the usual chorus he was hearing. But then came a man, interesting character. He came and he told Frederick the Great, you know, I did this mistake. I know, you know, I'm not. I deserve to be here. I've committed my crime. I'm a sinner. I deserve to be here. When Frederick the Great heard, you know, he called the prison authorities and said, you know, get this man out of this prison because he is going to convert others. He will make them realize, right, they deserve to be here. You also realize, I think, we are turning to God in faith. So Paul has a message. You know, sometimes we have actually watered down our gospel, right? I think I've told you, when I was in India doing some preaching, there were moments, you know, sometimes you water down. You say you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever you are, you know, and he gives you, everything is okay, everything is fine, kind of a thing. But Paul message was the message of Jesus Christ. It's about repentance. It's about turning to God in faith. Right? In other words, it's not an intellectual faith he was talking about, but a faith that hangs on to God. Our total weight is on him. It is not about cheap grace, my friend. It's about real, genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the message. Let's not compromise the message that we have. Let us be faithful to the message that we share. Sin is sin. And let's speak and tell them, you know, about faith, about accepting Jesus Christ. And salvation is the only gift and the only way to Christ. Thirdly, he also speaks about demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. In other words, there should be evidence. Now you'll see something similar. John the Baptist is speaking about in Matthew chapter 3, 7 to 8. In other words, there should be evidence. In other words, it's not, you know, I repent, I have faith in God, but show me evidence of your repentance. That's what Paul says. That is the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. Realize, I think you have heard this verse numerous times from this pulpit. You know, there will be days where the Lord will say, the last days, Lord, people will come to him and say, Lord, in your name I did this. I did miracles, O God, in your name. In your name I prophesied, to God. In your name I healed the sick. I cast out the demons. And the Lord looked at them and he says, what? I do not know you. Depart from me. And he doesn't conclude there. It says, ye evil doers. Imagine. Why? Because there's no true repentance. There's true no faith. And there's no deeds for repentance. When you share the message, share the full gospel, my friend. Share the full message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not water down when we speak to others about Christian faith. Lastly, you know, let me finish. Paul comes with a lot of passion, you know, and he says, I'm not disobedient to the vision from heaven. You know, in other words, Paul says, I'm not disobedient. You know, I'm obedient to the heaven, and this is my passion. I want to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ at any expenses. I'm just willing to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me finish by, you know, with this two responses that you will see, right, in verse 24. You'll see Festus, you know, interrupted Paul's defense, and he said, you're out of your mind, Paul, he shouted. Your great learning is driving you insane. I think probably we hear this word in the world today. Christianity is not for us. It's not relevant to the scientific world that we live in, or the technology, the advanced technology that we are living in. Christianity is outdated. It's not relevant to the society. It is for those who need something to cling on. I think that's the way. I think that was what, you know, Festus was telling. You're out of your mind. It's not relevant. This Jesus is not relevant. Peace only comes through suffering, through brutality, not through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the thinking on those days. When he shared the gospel, my friend, don't be surprised for responses of this nature. People today might not subscribe, but they might say, you know, you're talking, it doesn't make any sense what you're saying about Christianity. Paul continued. Another one, if you realize, another important thing is in verse 28, look at the word very carefully, you know, when Paul was sharing, right? King Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short notice you can persuade me to be a Christian? And in verse 30, if you realize, there was another word. The king rose and with him, the governor and Bernice and those seated with him. I was looking at the word, you know, very carefully. Why did, you know, King Agrippa said that word? He almost convinced me. Almost, right? But in other words, he says, you almost convinced me, but I don't want to be convinced. You know why? Look at the word carefully. Who was sitting beside him? Bernice was sitting beside him. Historically, the queen should be sitting beside him. Google and you'll find out, you know. His sister was sitting beside him. History says they had a relationship which is not acceptable. And so if King Agrippa would say, no, you are making sense. In other words, he has to let go his life, his relationship, his bad relationship with his sister, my friend. And sometimes, you know, people are unwilling to accept or follow because I need to sacrifice my life. I need to let go of this. I need to let go of that. I can't continue with what I've been doing. Probably that was what King Agrippa was saying, my friend. I'm not ready to deal with my sin in my life. You'll always receive such responses. Today you and I have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to ask ourselves, what am I doing with the gospel? What am I doing? I was reading about D.L. Moody, right, the great man, the great servant of God. So one day he was walking in the streets of Chicago. And then he came up to a man and he asked this man, you know, are you a Christian? The man was so frustrated when he heard Moody ask him that particular question. And so this man looked at him, you know, and, you know, shouted at the face of D.L. Moody and said, you mind your own business. And Moody replied, and that's my business, he said. Then immediately the man took a step back and he said, then you must be Moody. Because people knew that Moody was always going down the streets preaching the good news of the gospel that changes, that transforms life, my friend. Today, are we bold enough to say, like the apostle, I'm not afraid of ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the name that I wear. I call myself as a Christian. Today, we introduce ourselves to people. We talk about our profession. We talk about the place we are coming or studying. But do we ever say that I am a Christian, I'm a child of God? Are we ashamed? This is Missions Month, my friend. I think God has given us the mission. Are we ashamed to wear His name? Are we ashamed of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we ashamed to show or even to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? May God continue to empower us throughout this month. When you meet someone, be bold. Show the love of God. Share the word of God. We have the good news. Let's pray. Look at the Apostle Paul. We see him as a great missionary, a great church planter, a defender of the faith. But when you look at the word very carefully, Paul always wanted to be a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can stop. Because he has tasted the goodness of God. Nothing. My friends, today you and I have the gospel. The good news of great joy. What are we doing? When was the last time can say that I shared the gospel? I shared about Jesus. I told someone about Jesus. When was the last time? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this great man of God, Father. He saw all his achievements, nothing. What a great word that he said. I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ who lives with me. Help us, Lord, to be a faithful witness.